Welcome to the Gospel Transformation Podcast with Stijn Versluis. We believe you will be transformed as you see Jesus through his word today. Are you ready? Let's listen to Stijn.
Welcome to this podcast. I'm so glad you're listening, and I believe today's podcast is going to reveal Jesus to you once again. Now, I'm so excited that you're listening, and today I'm going to share about Jesus, the wisdom of God. Where do I get that from? Well, I want to record a few podcasts, and I may sometimes take one, maybe multiple episodes sometimes per topic. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we actually read that Jesus is the wisdom from God, and that he also is our righteousness, holiness or sanctification, and redemption. Now, that's so wonderful. And as I've said before, I believe that when we see Jesus, that's when we get changed. So we want to portray Jesus in all his goodness, all his glory, and all he is during this podcast. And I believe that it's that which is going to change your life. So let's pray before we start. Father, I thank you. I thank you that today we can sit together and see who you are. And Jesus, I pray that Holy Spirit, you show us who Jesus is, and that we are changed into the image of Christ, and that our lives are transformed. We thank you, Lord. Amen. So again, I'm going to talk about wisdom. Well, what is wisdom? You know, there's different words that we use sometimes to refer to things like that, but there is knowledge. And knowledge is basically an accumulation of things that you know. You know, facts, maybe people's opinions, information that's basically collected, and that forms your knowledge. Now, what is wisdom? Wisdom goes beyond that. It also has the judgment on how to use knowledge. It's more than just the what, it's also the how. Now, God is very wise, we all know that. Of course, he's the source of all wisdom. But now, in this podcast, we want to discover more about how God works. And I think this is going to be a tremendous blessing to you for two reasons. First of all, you're going to see the wisdom of God in the story of Jesus and what Christ has accomplished for us at the cross. That is wisdom of God in display. And then secondly, when we start to see the principle that governs the wisdom of God, when we see how God does things, it shows us the pattern by which we can live our lives with him. I believe that we as believers, those who follow Jesus, are called to live a different life from this world. You know, God's wisdom is different from man's wisdom. We're going to see more of that in this podcast, obviously. But I also want to say that as a believer, you get to tap into the wisdom of God. This wisdom of God is what will help you to operate in the kingdom of God. Maybe this still sounds a little bit generic to you, but let me give you an example or an illustration of that. We all know people that are fruitful in their lives. They have impact. They see God move through them. They see miracles happen. They see great things happen in their lives. It's not a coincidence. There's principles that govern how the Christian life works. And today we're going to look at one of those principles. And I can see that many people who are fruitful and effective in their lives have applied this principle. So let's dive right into the Word of God. So first of all, we want to look at Jesus, how the wisdom of God is revealed in Jesus. And so let's start by what Jesus said himself in John chapter 12, verse 24 to 26. We see there it says, "Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it. Well, anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." Now, you may say, well, Stein, he's not even using the word wisdom. So why are you using this scripture? Well, I'm coming back to that later. But you will see, as we head into the podcast, that Christ is the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God comes into play, in referring to Christ, when it comes to the cross. So the cross of Christ, it reveals to us God's wisdom. Now, Jesus here is talking about the cross. And I would call this, what he is talking about, the principle of death and resurrection. So let me explain this to you. It says, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. So if you have a seed, it can be a kernel of wheat, it can be a corn, whatever it is. If you don't do anything with it, nothing's really going to happen. It's just going to be in your home. It's just going to be on the table. It's just going to be in your hand. But if you put it in the ground, something is going to happen to it. It will die. It will fall apart. Not really fall apart, but, you know, it will kind of dissolve eventually. But while that little seed is actually no longer there, out of that seed comes this big tree or this big plant. And, you know, when you look at wheat, you sow one single piece of wheat, this seed, and out comes, you know, this full harvest, this full crops, which contains many seeds. So death is necessary for multiplication. That's a very important thought. Because Jesus says here, anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. So he's basically saying, if your life dies, that's the only way it's going to be kept for eternal life. So if you just don't do anything with it, it will, you know, just remain single. But if you plant it and if it dies, it will produce this great crop. Death is the principle by which multiplication comes. And I believe that's the principle we're going to look at today. So you can apply this directly to Jesus. You know, Jesus is like a grain of seed. He was actually literally buried in the ground after he died for us on the cross. But it says in the Word of God that though he died, he got a reward. And these are many, many, many seeds, so to speak, that came out of him. You know, in Isaiah 53, we see that he will see posterity. He will see the outcome of his sufferings. And what is that? That's us. All who believe in him. We are actually called Christians, little Christs. You know, we are like Jesus. So out of one person, Christ, came this whole group of millions of people who carry who he is. So one seed, Christ, is now multiplied into millions, billions of seeds. And that's all the believers who are in Christ and who carry his identity, who carry his nature. That's wonderful. So Jesus died, and out of his resurrection, we all come. That's the principle that was at work in the death and the resurrection of Christ. Now, and that's exactly the same principle that we are going to see that works in our lives as well. But I just want to emphasize this again, that the key is death, which sounds so counterintuitive, because for us as people, we tend to always preserve life. We're always trying to make sure that we don't die. You know, it's even in our system. And of course, that's good because that's how God created us. But when it comes to spiritual matters, death is the key to multiplication. Now, we're going to look at it as the Bible talks about this in 1 Corinthians, where he talks again about the cross. And Paul is talking here. This is his letter to the Corinthians. And he says in verse 18 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. You know, it's foolish. Why would the Son of God die? That doesn't make any sense. You know, for us, if you are a believer, and for me, you know, we've heard this so many times, but when you hear it for the first time, it's weird. Why would somebody die? Why would that be the way of salvation? You know, we would think that Jesus comes as a mighty warrior, as a mighty king, and sets everyone right. No, he comes the exact opposite way. He comes in weakness. He is born as a human being in, you know, in a small town called Bethlehem. He is born, you know, he's not born like a king. He's born in a very simple, humble way. And then he lives his life and he dies on a cross. How can that be? How can that be God's plan of salvation? Well, the wisdom of God is at work here. It says, it's foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. So why does God do things like this? You know, God has a way of doing things that's different from us. And it says here, he destroys the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent. I will frustrate. So God is really putting down the people that think they know it all. You know, God, in his way of doing things, he comes out as deserving all the glory and all the praise. He puts down, you know, the wisdom of man, the strength of man. And by doing that, he lifts up those who are weak, those who are humble. That's why, you know, that's one of the reasons why we fall in love with God, is because we see that he is so loving, he's so kind. He doesn't come for the people that can do it all, that have all the strength and all the power. No, he comes for those who are weak. And he loves it to lift up those things that are weak. You know, when you feel weak, maybe you feel like a nobody. You feel like you're weak. You feel like you're foolish. You know, maybe you didn't even finish school. Maybe you don't have any diplomas. Maybe you don't look nice. Maybe you don't have a great background. Maybe you don't have many things going for you. But I tell you, that's exactly the people that God loves to use. And then he gets all the glory and we get to love him more. And that's, I believe, his very purpose, that we would love him, that we would see his goodness. Man, that's wonderful. So God is not a God of a macho power. You know, he comes weak. He comes humble. And actually, it almost feels like a trick when you think about it. You know, I can imagine the devil thought, you know, now I killed Jesus. And actually in chapter 2 of this same letter, he said that if they had known, if they had understood what God was doing through the cross, of course they would not have crucified Jesus. Because through death, multiplication came. And so we see here, as we read on in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25, we read, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength." Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. You know, there will be no bragging at the end of the day, because God, he loves to do it for us. He loves to serve us. That's his heart. You know, when we come to him, we don't come saying, okay, God, let me show you what I can do. No, when we come to him, we have to come humble and let him serve us. Let him do what only he can do. You know, that's what I often pray. I say, Lord, here I am, do what only you can do. I realize that there are not many things that I can do. Actually, in John chapter 15, Jesus even says, without me, you can't do anything. So we have to keep that posture before him. And this is how God displayed his wisdom. This is, you know, what he did in Christ. He did something that was foolish and weak and despised for the world, the cross. What could be more low than that? But through that exact thing, he gained the victory over the devil. He gained victory over sin. He gained victory over the lostness of humanity. And he got victory over death itself. Wow. That is impressive. That's the wisdom of God at work. And it says it is because of Him, God, that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. So instead of us working for it, instead of us being everything, you know, by ourselves, God's wisdom is that He chooses the weak and lowly things and lifts them up through what He does through Jesus Christ. And it says, therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. So all the glory goes to Jesus. Man, that's the gospel. That's the gospel. That God comes in and He displays His love by doing these things for us. This is the heart of the gospel. God uses the most brutal, the most humiliating thing in history, a wooden cross. And exactly that is what He uses to save us. Wow. Now, this principle of death and resurrection is a principle that, of course, is fully displayed in Jesus. And that's what we have been discussing now. But it goes beyond that. And let me explain that to you. It's a principle that when you start to look for it, you see it throughout the scriptures. Let me just give you a few examples. So you can even start to see it already in Abraham. What does Abraham need to do when Isaac finally comes? God is asking him to sacrifice Isaac. You know, that doesn't make any sense. It does not make any sense in the natural. Why would you sacrifice that? Which actually was, you know, he had been waiting for him more than a decade. And now, finally, the son is there. And then you're going to sacrifice him? But actually, that's how God turned things around for Abraham. And he got a revelation of who God is and all these things. There's other examples. You know, you see how Joseph actually was completely out of the picture. And God did something in his life. And he raised him up and he became prime minister of Egypt. And you see it throughout all the scriptures. You know, David was almost killed by Saul. He was marginalized. He was put aside, but God is, you know, resurrecting him, so to speak, and God starts to work through him. So you see all the time that when God uses people, He brings them to this point where they can no longer trust in themselves. You know, I think David is a great example because you see in the scriptures, he even talks about this. In the Psalms, you see how he says, God, my only hope is you. You have to save me. So God always wants us to trust Him. He wants our confidence not to be in ourselves, but to trust Him. Now, and I think a great example of that in the New Testament, a story which illustrates this, is how Jesus multiplied food for the 5,000 people. So here's a situation where there's a multitude of people and they need to be fed. So what does Jesus say? He says to the disciples, you go and feed them, which doesn't make any sense because they say, well, this is going to take a lot of money. And then just think it through, you know, just to get the money, first of all, then you have to buy bread and all these things. It's really something that's bigger than they can do. And I think that's where this principle also touches our lives. Maybe you know what God has called you to do, or maybe you're discovering it, or maybe you have a desire to do something big, and you feel that God is leading you into it. But you feel like, you know, how is this ever going to work? God's word says A, but my situation says Z. There's not even a comparison. You know, this is what I have, 5 loaves and 2 fish. And here are, you know, 5,000 men plus, you know, besides that, women and children. This just doesn't compute. It's never going to work. And so that's an opportunity for God to show who He is, because He loves to show who He is. He loves to show us His goodness. And so as the story goes on, what do the disciples eventually do? You know, they give what they have. They give their 5 loaves and 2 fish to Jesus. And what does Jesus do with it? It says in Luke chapter 9, He, Jesus, gave thanks and broke them. He broke the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Here you see the principle of death. You know, the 5 loaves and 2 fish that, you know, was like a seed. It was just a little bit. But when it was surrendered to Jesus, when it was broken by Jesus, when it died, so to speak, you know, it died out of the hands of the disciples. You know, all they had, they gave it away. So at that moment, it looked like they had absolutely nothing. because even what they had, they now gave back to Jesus. And Jesus takes it and he breaks it. And that's when the multiplication starts, and 5 loaves and 2 fish feed a multitude. My friend, that's what we are supposed to do with our lives. That's what we are supposed to do with what we have. We are supposed to surrender it to Jesus. And then he breaks it and he multiplies it. That's how God's wisdom works. It's completely different from the world. You know, the world says, do all you can to get more loaves, to get more fish. Work harder, try harder, get people to do it for you. All these things. But no, what God asks us to do is to simply surrender what we have to him. And yes, this is talking about loaves and fish, but the Bible even talks about this in a deeper way. In Romans chapter 12, we read that we don't just surrender what we have, but we surrender who we are. The Bible says, because of the mercies of God, we are supposed to put our lives on the altar, to surrender our bodies as a living sacrifice. And then, once we do that, God can resurrect us and God can do it through us. We will still be us. You know, the loaves were still the loaves. The fish were still the fish, with one difference. They were broken by Jesus. You know, before God can really use us, we have to come to a place where we are broken. I'm not saying he's going to make you sick. He's not, you know, putting you to death. I mean this in a figurative sense. What it means to be broken, it means that we have come to a point where we realize, I can't do this. I don't have what it takes. Lord, I need you. I'm going to fully trust you. You're going to do this. And all the glory is going to you. You know what happens when we are broken? When we are a broken vessel, actually there are cracks in the vessel. And guess what? The light of Jesus in us, it can shine through the cracks. You know, that's why God breaks us. That's why he wants us to surrender, so that when we are broken, he can shine through us. You know, actually, it's a good thing to, you know, be in this state of, Lord, I don't have it. I can't do it. Because it reveals your need for him. It will make you humble. God will work through you and he will get all the glory. You know, and as the light shines through you, you also get to benefit from the power of the light. Praise the Lord. So I just want to say this to you today, that God is inviting you to this life. God is inviting you to godly wisdom. Maybe you've tried many times earthly wisdom. Maybe you're listening today and you feel that, you know, you've done this study, you've done that study, you've worked in this place, you've done this, you've done that, and you feel like you've accumulated so many things, but still you feel like there's no fruit in your life. Yes, there are results. Maybe you're even making money, but you don't feel fulfilled because you don't feel that God's power is working through you. My friend, what you need to do is surrender. Give all those things back to Jesus. No longer trust in your abilities, in your strength, but surrender all you have and all you are to him. Put it in his hands, let him break it. And when it comes back to you, it will be multiplied, because the seed, when it dies, it multiplies. And you will see God working through your life in a way that you've never thought possible. That's powerful. But it takes one thing, it takes surrender. And that's a serious thing. You know, when Abraham sacrificed his son Isaac, it wasn't a small thing. No, it really was a sacrifice. So this is a very conscious decision, and it's between you and the Lord. I can't make this decision for you. But if you listen today and you say, I want to surrender everything to Jesus. I want to just put my life in his hands so that he can work through it. And that his glory is going to be seen through my life. If that's you, I just want to invite you to pray these words after me. Say, Jesus, thank you that your glory can be seen through my life when I surrender to you. Jesus, I surrender all I am and all I have to you. Jesus, take my life. Lord, use it for your glory. I surrender all. Amen. My friend, if you prayed that prayer, I believe God is going to move in your life in a very mighty way. Now, maybe you prayed this prayer for the first time in your life. in a way where you said, you know, I don't know Jesus. I have never really made the decision to follow Jesus, but I pray this prayer today. Well, my friend, it says, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that God raised him from the dead, and if you confess with your mouth that he is Lord over your life, then you're saved. You're born again today. Your relationship with God has started. And I want to encourage you, go to a church where they talk about Jesus all the time. Listen to him, read his word, and let the Spirit reveal Jesus to you. Thank you so much for listening today. I believe this message has blessed you. And you will see that through this death, multiplication will come into your life. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the Gospel Transformation Podcast. We believe your life will never be the same again. Would you like to know more about our ministry or partner with us? Please visit our website at www.gospel-transformation.org. Gospel Transformation, sharing the good news and bringing others along.